All right,
hey, Corey, you ain't on Instagram, so you ain't seen what you ain't seen Rico Nasty been posting, baby, man. She been posting the thirst traps, fam.
Hey, dark hair Rico Nasty undefeated.
Oh, what?
No, Rico look good, though.
Dark hair.
Hey, man. Time for you to IG. No
Welcome back to the Popular Demand Podcast. I'm your host, Jay. With me today, I got my co-host, Delon. With me, what's up, Delon?
Assalamu alaikum, brother Jordan.
We got Core with us today. What's up, Core?
How you been? Chaos is a lot of.
And we got my main man, Daniel, joining us today at Rapping Museums. What's up, Daniel?
I just want to say Nicki Minaj is the greatest of all time.
Ooh. Queen Radio.
Let him know.
See, I wasn't even going to bring it up on that. I wasn't even going to bring it up while the episode was going. I wasn't.
No. I was going to mention, Daniel. I was going to introduce him like I introduced everybody for the first time. Like, Daniel, number one fan of the Nicki Minaj fan club. I didn't know how he's going to feel about that. But he just came out and said it.
Now, listen, a thing that I think we need to start doing when we have new people on the podcast, we need to let everyone know their palette so they can have a nice frame of reference of their point of view. So, yeah. Daniel, if you could give us a couple of artists
I'll say,
to.
I don't want to be pigeonholed after Nicki.
No, I think since you said Nicki, I think you need to say something else. You need to throw in a Dilla.
You gotta stay with
you. Throw in a Big L.
Yeah, do something. I ain't gonna stunt, Dan. When you said Nicki stand, I was like, damn, that shit sound like a can't say. Yeah, I mean, you know what it is, Suns Nation, everybody.
Playoffs, one. You gotta say something super hip now. Digging in the crates.
I'm repping Nicki, that's it.
All right, there we go, Daniel. Okay. Let them know.
Which is funny, you sound like Safari.
I feel personally disrespected, but I'm gonna let it slide.
All right, this is episode.
Hey, man, Safari got some tools.
They do.
I don't know, but he got some tools.
He definitely do, though, but you know.
All right.
A lot of Nicki, but that don't.
This is... This is episode 69. You know what we do. We give our takes on basketball, music, and everything in between. If you don't follow us now. If you don't, subscribe to us now. If you never gave us 5 stars, give us 5 stars right now. There's no other announcements other than we're getting close to award season. So know that we're working on nominations and that we're going to start doing the Popular Demand Podcast Awards. And we're going to let you all know who we think had the best album of the year, who we think had the best song of the year and things of that nature. So stay tuned for that. Follow us at Podcast Demand to find more about that. So that's enough talking. Let's go ahead and get into the first topic because we got a lot of stuff we want to talk about. I think it's only right that we start with who's wilding this week. Core, who do you have for us this week?
Man, for this week, I have none other than Tekashi 6ix9ine, aka the Clown Prince of Climb, aka Young Rainbow, aka Daniel Hernandez, aka Young Master Splinter, the greatest rats to come out the sewers of New York City. Tekashi 6ix9ine is a 23-year-old rapper from the city of Brooklyn, New York. He has been rapping for at least 2 years, but has been a successful rapper for one. And he has also been a failed criminal for at least 2 years. Tekashi 6ix9ine, with 8 songs that hit the Billboard charts in the span of 6 to 7 months, he dropped 2 albums. I like one of them. The second was alright, but it wasn't me yet. But that's not what we're talking about. As you all know, he is a member of Treyway.
Didn't know that.
We know it.
Wow, really?
He is like clean 3,000 times. Like he told us every time he got a chance to. And so it led to street beefs, rap beefs, media beefs, industry beefs, shootouts, robberies, everything under the sun. And now him and the majority of the members of Treyway, aka the 9. I ain't trying to be snitching. No, exactly. Long story short, you know they do to people talking on podcasts. That's facts.
Hold on.
So they are all.
So what? Is academics part of Treyway? he did he not say that in court?
That was
a fake tweet.
That fake tweet got my ass. All right, continue, Cord.
Yeah. So basically, as soon as 6ix9ine got arrested, he decided to cooperate the next day. Not a week later, a month later, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months. 24 hours later, he said, "All right, fam, I'm out. Whatever y'all want to know, I'ma tell you. The times, the dates, the weeks, the months, the persons, the girlfriend, the address, the email address. I'm giving y'all everything. I'm telling y'all about the kids. I don't care." He telling everything. So for the past 3 days, it was been like 3 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
He's been on the stand. And he was supposed to go on the stand to only talk about the two people that robbed him, Nuke and Harv. Oh, damn, I'm saying names. You know, it don't matter. So basically, he was going on the stand to talk about the two people who robbed him. And it led into him spending 3 days giving out information on each and every single person who's breathing the same vicinity as Treyway Gangsters. People like Cardi B, Jim Jones, Trippie Redd, like people he ain't never even met, like just 9 Trey members is in prison right now that he ain't never came in contact with. He is telling everything. But the reason why I'm giving him Who's Wildin' is because even though I am a fan, I gotta call out hypocrisy.
Hey, Treyway.
All right.
Treyway, you know what I'm
saying? Is Nicki a part of Treyway?
She said about 3 times this year.
Now, look at y'all trying to slander and bring down a black woman.
She's screaming Treyway.
But this seems anti-black to me.
Wait, hold on. Stop it. You are not going to see here as a Nicki Minaj fan.
This seems xenophobic to me.
Nicki Minaj brings down more black women. Diabetes.
Is this what we doing?
Is she bringing down black
Nicki
women?
Nicki Minaj brings down more black women than salt.
In Nicki Minaj's defense in this case, Cardi B is not, she's not black. Technically,
she's not black.
Well,
she's just not black.
Well, according to Fat Joe, all Latinos are black.
Fuck that nigga too.
Hey, I'm gonna say this. Every Latino on Earth said they ain't black a billion times. If Fat Joe pulled it, like, nah, man, we all black.
Yeah. Till it's time to bring a nigga home. But I want to ask you, Jordan, because you said, I heard you kept saying, oh, y'all let a Mexican who say nigga, yada, yada, yada. So you don't listen to Fat Joe, Big Pun, none of these.
Every Latino rapper in New York say nigga.
I'm real with you. I do not listen to Fat Joe or Big Pun. I ain't gonna say, oh, dude.
Damn.
I actually don't.
Hey, man, Big Pun be stabbing
that classic. Now he do, sure but I actually don't listen to him.
Oh, well.
I don't turn him off.
All right. But back to the subject at hand, I got to ask y'all this. Is Tekashi 6ix9ine the biggest snitch since Pusha T?
Ooh.
I had to do it.
I got to say, yeah, fam. Like, that's the main reason. Like, if he would have just snitched on the people who robbed him, I would have been like, okay, they're snitching. It's the fact that they was like, hey, man, who robbed you? And he pulled up with a full breakdown on each and every person that surrounded him for the past 2 years. It's like being like, hey, Coleman, who robbed you? Man, in 2006, I was walking down the street, and like he gave each and every piece of information he could.
Okay.
Like he went crazy.
So I got to ask y'all this. This will probably be the last we see of him after he gets off his witness stand, after he goes away and goes back to his prison cell for his 1 year sentence, because he said he told that
he might get out at the top of the year.
Yeah. So if that's the case, is this the last we see of Tekashi, as in we don't see or hear from him ever again? Because surely he can't just, you know, run around like he was before after telling on damn near everybody in the country. And surely I can't imagine him making music anymore. Or do you guys still see a career in music form?
I thought it was like the end for him, because I don't know, like you said, I just don't think it's safe for him or his family members. But when I was reading the deposition and like hearing him speak, he seems to still be like his very much cocky self, like he told on me, like, oh, because he was like, what's one hand for? He was like, oh, my bad, it was two. And they was like, oh, you was the biggest rapper in New York. And he's like, nah, I was the biggest rapper in the world.
Yeah, like, so, he's still wild.
I don't think he's going to try to do music. Like, everyone keeps debating on TL, is he going to be able to have a music career or not? He has shown no indication of wanting a music career. like, fam, he's not too far removed from working as a server or as a dishwasher to just go back to that, especially in Montana, North Dakota, wherever he's going to be placed at. He's not, it wasn't his skill that was doing it. It was him being able to run around on the internet and being able to have the persona while being backed up by a bunch of dudes in red, which I don't know if y'all noticed. They ain't really going to be there no more.
No, they're not. That's another thing, too. Like,
I hear what you're saying.
They not, but you still get scared.
Yeah, I guess you're right about this.
I mean, there's not enough guns in the world. So,
yeah, it's true.
I don't know if that security thing going.
It was working out for him with the, you know, the Bloods. But then again, everybody in their mom was a Blood, so I guess that's why he was safe.
Yeah.
I just feel like, go ahead.
But the crazy thing was, like when he was going to other cities, he was only going with like 2-3 people.
He was rolling with the police.
Like
he was rolling with the police.
Nah, he was deep. He was deep.
No. I'm talking about like the first time he went to LA, it was just like him and 3 people. Then after that fight happened, then he started rolling 30 deep. But I was looking at like when he first came out, a lot of people wanted to kill him. When this is like, even though this is like a huge situation, I don't think it's just gonna make it 10 times worse with everybody want to kill. I mean,
he's
like,
made more enemies though. That's the thing about
Definitely.
No. Okay, did he make more enemies? Yes, but are you really finna put yourself at risk for somebody who snitched on their own? Like, are you about to kill somebody you ain't got no dealings with when they just snitched on their entire team? That ain't even your team.
You can snitch again if you kill him.
No, I don't think it's the outside. I think it's his internal. Like, I don't think he could ever step in foot in New York again. I don't think it's fair to continue to live in New York.
No, yeah, I agree with that.
So, like, I think life is different, but to get to the point of making music, you don't need to, like, he doesn't need to be in New York or Atlanta or Miami or a major city to make music. He can make music from his bedroom wherever they have him positioned. So I don't think we're ever going to see him, like, perform at live shows and things like that, but a Tekashi 6ix9ine track just popping up on the internet, I wouldn't be
surprised. Wait, say check out that IP.
Now
what's gonna cost you? What's gonna cost you? Computer engineer.
I look at it this way. I can see him moving to like. I can see him moving like somewhere in the south, doing tours in Europe. But like, if we talking about like, but like doing show, like he can't never do a festival again.
Well, he can't legally go to Europe if he's a felon. And then also, I don't see the incentive of making music to make $20 off of going platinum.
I'm streaming.
You can't do a show.
Yeah. Not to mention, you know, album sales ain't hitting either.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna say this.
Not by Tekashi's streams are out of the room.
I will say this though. When it comes to selling music and record labels, they can make anything work. Like I'm putting like if he comes out and he just drop a record and the record moves like the old ones used to, I think the labels be able to make some happen.
Now see, that's my next question. Like as far as the content goes, because we know his content was mostly talking about being a Treyway member and doing
the Gitaki Spanish mommy. She's a tamale. My bad, I was rapping.
But that's my question. Is it going, you know, songs on his second album? What's the second album called?
Dummy Boy.
Those real Latino and Hispanic influenced tracks. Are we gonna get more of that and less of Treyway, or you think you still gonna make gangster rap?
Obviously he done with gangster rap, but the crazy thing is, like, I think those Spanish songs are more successful than the gangster songs.
Yeah. So that's what I'm thinking about. Like, you probably have to leave him. He probably can have a music career, but he had to move himself from rap, probably.
I hate to say it, but kind of like the benefits of not being black. Like, you can be tired of black stuff, but the moment it goes left, you can leave. Like Justin Bieber's running around with the rappers and all of that. As soon as it went left, I'm gone. Exactly. Miley Cyrus, I'm running around with the black people. Nicki Minaj, I'm putting hands on you. All right, y'all, I'm white again. Like, if you're not black, you can always even do something else. Like, Kid Rock used to be on from Detroit and I'm rapping, da 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 da. Kid Rock doing country music. Kid Rock, like, super maggot out. Like, not, like, you can completely leave and rebrand yourself. Well,
so that's my thing to say. His rap career probably over, but not his music career.
But I got a question now. Do y'all think there's any integrity left in rap? Because we're talking about, like, can 6ix9ine do and did, but still, like, be successful in music, even though his music is based on rap and hip-hop?
But see, I feel like integrity is long gone. And I feel like integrity... Yeah, we first started, like, realizing integrity rap was gone when, like, ghost rapper allegations came out of Drake, and people were like, so what? Even if the stuff wasn't true, it's the fact that people said, even if it's true, I don't care. And that was, like, the...
I'm gonna get for you, though. What's up? I don't think it was heavy hit. Like, I don't think it was heavy. I don't think it was as heavy as we thought it was. I mean, because even to this day, like, now we find out, like, oh, people wrote for Eazy-E. Like, it's people come out say people wrote for Snoop. Like, all this stuff is going on now. Like, people been snitching. People been having writers. It's just that if a rapper dies or a rapper becomes a legend, we just kind of sweep it. Like, if you're successful, we sweep it all under the rug. Like, all this stuff that's happening in hip-hop right now, I feel like it's always been happening.
Oh, yeah,
happening.
It's always been happening. I do feel like people care more because the guys you name, like, ain't nobody putting Eazy-E in their, like, top 20 rappers all time saying, like, oh, he's one of the best lyricists ever. See what I'm saying? Like, nobody taking him seriously. And for that reason, nobody will take Drake seriously like that either. Because I actually had a couple people who thought of him as one of the best lyricists ever. And that same person ain't said that shit since 2015. He can't feel like he said it in good conscience anymore. Because that's the thing about it. So I feel like integrity mattered more. Now people just like, I just want the music. And I think that's all people care about now, which is cool. Like, you know, that's fine. But as far as like great debates, And as far as him being able to continue to make gangster rap, I would hope that people would take that music seriously. That's my thing. If you were to do it.
Here's my thing though, back to the integrity thing. I don't think that the integrity of hip hop was hanging on the tongue of a 23-year-old Mexican.
Also facts.
I'm not saying that.
I think that's the crazy thing about the situation was like the entire time we found out like he was getting rappers shot at, he was getting rappers jumped and all of this, people were still saying like, yeah, he didn't do that. Somebody else did that. So like, even when he was doing all this, like even like he was pretty much saying, yo, I got killers. And now we finding out he actually had killers, but we still want to give him credit for it. Like,
he got killers.
No, but in the deposition, it says that he was like jumping out of cars, shooting guns too, though. Like, yeah. So I don't want to gloss that over. Like which is why I think it's crazy that like people are like trying to excuse the telling thing or whatever the situation is. It was like, if I was in that situation, yada yada, but he was like very involved in doing the same shit they were doing. Yeah.
You putting hits on people, you shooting at like people pulling up at your car, like, oh, you're not a real gangster. And then you hopping out the car with rainbow hair and a baby blue bubble coat shooting at niggas, like, you can't just pull up and be like, oh no, like, I'm just this regular guy. I just make music. Like, no, you really in the field moving. Like, you can't say I'm a gangster, do a bunch of gangster stuff, and then when the feds come, man, I'm just a help. I'm just an artist, man.
Not Corey. I was getting it. For them, bro. No, that's racist.
It is Corey.
God damn.
Come on now.
Damn, man. Let me get this nigga out of here.
Trump took over for a second, that's all.
nigga tell you dragon energy. Oh, let me stop. All right. So now it's time for the bar exam. Well, I'm gonna give y'all some rap lines, and then you guys guess who's the rapper it came from. And it's the Snitch Edition, so I'm gonna
go. Snitch.
Yeah, so I got some rap lines.
You got 50 Cent on there?
No, I don't. I just got two. I got two because I was lazy and I feel like really like sitting through and listening to some stuff to get this right. So here we go. the first line: last year niggas really feel like they rode on me. Last year's niggas got high because they told on me. Who said this? Lil Wayne, Drake, or Tiger?
Drake. Gotta be Drake.
Wait, when did Wayne become a snitch?
He did. I just told that money, people.
Did he snitch on your thug?
You know, he did. I forgot about that.
No, he didn't.
When?
Allegedly got shot up. I'm bad, Corey. You right.
Louisiana icon. You know you disrespecting the South on the low. I'm going to let you slide.
Yeah, man. You know. We are the South, man. We do that.
Man, it's not like he's from the swamp, though, so it's different.
Yeah, we look at them differently. They're a different breed, word to Kevin Gates and your NBA young boy. That's a different
sound style. Like anti-blackness.
Hey, man. No, man. Them niggas ain't black. All right, here's the next one. Oh, hold on, no, that's not it. Where did it go? There we go. Whose song does these lyrics belong to? Rap snitches telling all their business, sit in the court and be their own star witness. Do you see the perpetrator? Yeah, I'm right here. Fuck around and get the whole label set up for years. Was this Troy Ave? And definitely tore ass.
It ain't 6ix9ine.
Was it?
It ain't 6ix9ine.
Nah, it ain't 6ix9ine. Was it Tupac? Was it Tech N9ne? Or was it MF Doom?
We low-key gonna scrap, because this is the second rapper you disrespected in this.
I'm just picking random rappers.
You told me this was the snitch edition, so I don't like these choices.
It would have sounded way off.
Who do y'all get? Who said these lyrics?
It gotta be Tupac.
No. Nah. It's not Pac.
Nope.
What were the options? Tech N9ne and who else?
It was MF Doom.
I don't listen to Doom. So.
Doom snitching in the UK?
it was Doom's lyrics. Oh, okay. Sorry, so that's enough of that. Shout out everybody who didn't get snitched on. We safe out here. So moving on. Speaking of snitches, let's talk about Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant.
Beautiful segue.
Let me see. What did Kevin Durant say? Let me make sure I get this right. So Kevin Durant said, "Kevin Durant, he's been saying a lot lately because his foot hurt. The motion office that Kevin Durant said the motion office that we run in Golden State only works to a certain point. We can totally rely on our own system for maybe first two rounds. Then the next two rounds, we're going to have to mix it in with individual play." Steph Curry responded by saying, "We all want to play ISO ball at the end of the day in some way, shape, or form, but I'd rather have some championships too." Who do y'all agree with in this sentiment? Do you agree with words from Kevin Durant, who feels like, you know, ISO ball is necessary and that the whole move, everybody touch the ball nonsense that the Warriors do only works for two rounds? Or do y'all believe, or y'all believe in Steph Curry and that that's the proper way to play basketball, is spreading the ball around between everybody and, you know, being a threat as a team?
I feel like they're both correct to an extent. I'm not taking no facts. Yeah. Well, fuck Curry, but I feel like they're both correct.
Fuck Steph Curry. I felt that.
Because, like, clearly that team ball had to work because that's why he wanted to go there. But Durant not wrong. Mm-hmm. Is sometimes offense is not clicking and you need your star player to take over. So,
yeah,
and Curry takes over a lot too, or we've seen games where he takes over. And so I was just shocked to see that him like really feel away. But I think it's like some internal beef is why he really came out and said something.
Yeah,
it's weird because Kevin Durant was basically like, even before this quote, it was like Kevin Durant was basically saying he didn't feel like he fit in there. And then people asked Curry about it, and Curry's like, you know, I can't believe he feels that way. You know, I feel like we were friends.
Draymond called him a bitch. Why would he feel like he fit in?
You know what? You know you're right. You know, that quote was aimed at Draymond and probably a couple more players, and they keep asking Curry about it because he the face. You know, Curry like, "Nah, nigga, I came to game. You know, I get a nigga Gatorade once. You know, we be chilling and bought him to church. I used to cook for him one night. You know, I thought we were family. You know, but yeah. As far as like the quote about ISO ball play, I agree. I have to say I agree with both of them. Like you said, Dan, that's the best way to put it. Because thing is, you can allow your system and your way of playing, but there's just certain times where your best player has to get you a bucket, and then you got to go to that player. And that's what the Warriors did. Well, they used a Warrior style of play, and then when they need a bucket, they rely on Kevin Durant to get them a bucket, or even Curry at times. But then, like, that's not something that just stops working once you get past the third round. Well, you know, once you get past the second round. Because if you remember that Miami year, that year that Bron was with Miami, he was having cramps against the Spurs, and they got beaten five games. That's what the Spurs did the entire finals. Like, they just moved the ball around, and the leading scorer has averaged like 17 points a game. Shout out to Kawhi Leonard. Like, that stuff works. Like, it works at that level, but the thing is, it won't always work. Just like ISO ball doesn't always work in the first round or second round. Kind of like Kevin Durant learned, or kind of like
shout out Carmelo.
Shout out to Carmelo, ISO God, and I don't think he the God in. But yeah, that's all I got for that. So that was a pretty quick topic. Shout out to Melo. Hopefully he's somewhere.
It's funny that Joe Johnson got a job, and Melo's still unemployed.
It's not really. It's not really funny. It's just that, you know, Joe Johnson is humble and he went to the big three and just killed it. He showed he could play, and Melo's not going to do that.
No, I mean, I think Melo out of shape. and like a relic. So I don't think Melo deserves the job. I just think it's funny.
You know, I saw Melo with his shirt off the other day. Pause. But he didn't look as fat. He didn't look as fat.
You good?
He didn't look as fat. I'm good, fam.
You know, I saw Melo without a shirt on. And I ain't gonna lie, he wasn't looking too bad out there. They get excited.
Moving on to the next topic. Is like I said, it's almost award season. We're getting ready to tally all the votes. So, well, getting ready to taking the nominations from everybody that we asked to participate. But I just want some early thoughts on who you guys have as your album of the year. What album is on your radar? What artists are on your radar?
We give a one album.
Think that Kanye,
go ahead.
Yeah, give your album a year, or maybe somebody you feel like can edge them out. And do you think Kanye West could show everybody September 27th? I'm just saying.
Kanye. Let me start because everybody don't mind. We know I'm a Benny the Butcher guy. Y'all know I've been pushing that.
Yes.
Yes. Super fast.
I don't see. I have a problem with you even considering Kanye's gospel album when you won't consider Billy Ray Cyrus' important verse. But which was the most impactful verse on a hip hop album or on a hip hop song this year, took it to number one.
That's a fact.
But you know, if you're gonna count Kanye, but you know, y'all know I got Benny the
Butcher. We don't know it's gonna be a gospel.
Y'all
album.
Know I got Benny the Butcher number one. Bandana, I think I have it at three.
Word up. So
what's number two? What's
it, two?
What I give you for my list?
I'm be real, I don't remember.
No, that was the last 2 years. It was. I had Bandana, Plugs I Met, and then Streams of Thought 2. But yeah, that,
oh, that's
that was
right. That's
year.
What that you
was
said.
So Bandana's my number two for this year.
Okay.
I mean, but if Streams of Thought, yeah, I'll say what month did it come out in?
No.
It came out like October, November.
Ooh,
so technically,
yeah.
I thought before. Yeah. All right, then Streams of Thought my number two.
No. Oh, dude.
Yeah, you know, we go from October to October, so yeah, that counts.
She was on my number two.
I don't agree.
So I'll give you quality list. Oh, go ahead, Jordan.
Go ahead. I was about to say, I've been pushing Bandana since it came out. Like, it wowed me.
Snooze.
Gibbs gave me everything I could possibly want. He gave me catchy hooks. He gave me some bars. He slipped in some storytelling on Practice. He even, and the thing is, I hate when Gibbs sing. When I heard, what was that cover? That R&B cover he had himself on? I'm trying to remember what the name of the album was. I think it was called Freddie.
Yeah, I think it was Freddie. What you're talking about.
Yeah, it was just called Freddie. I can't stand when Freddie Gibbs sing. Yet he put the right amount of like melodic parts on the album to keep his rapping from, you know, the rapping from drowning out everything and just become one monotonous thing. But even on top of that, not only was he like mixing in the melodic parts, but he was also switching the flows between songs to match whatever beat that Madlib threw his way. He gave me everything. And that's why for right now, he sits in my album of the year. Granted, it's the Plugs I Met is like right there behind, like right there on his heels, because that album damn near perfect. It's, to me, to be honest with you, it is perfect. The only thing I can say the Plugs I Met didn't give me was hooks, which that doesn't really matter when the bars top tier throughout, and it's a perfect length too. It's a perfect length. And that's probably like one thing I favorite over like Streams of Thought, where it's just, you know, just Black Thought just rapping for like 3 minutes on every song, and like there's no hook, nothing. It's just him just continuously rapping nonstop, and with no features or nothing. Yeah, that's actually monotonous at times. Even though Black Thought's a really great rapper, those songs in a vacuum are great, but them together as a project,
that's what I live for.
Didn't favor them. I didn't favor them.
Crazy though.
Oh, you know, matter of fact, Dylan, did you listen to Retropolitan?
No.
Sky Zoo, no, you know that Sky Zoo song you sent me with Ben
oh,
the
yeah, yeah, yeah,
and the rest
yeah.
of Griselda on there? Yeah, the album that song is on came out this week. Look at this nigga.
But that song, man.
Yeah, Hey, boy, the number dust his fedora off.
Man, listen, I don't think I want to hear hook ever again. Like, I never want to hear hook ever again in my life.
Now, you won't hear it on Retropolitan. Well, you hear some, but it's most of that nigga just rapping.
Big bets.
Be honest with you. But yeah, those are my top two contenders. the sneaky, it's not, to be honest with you, I know this won't be my album of the year, but it's like the third best album for me so far. The album I've enjoyed the most. Who?
Logic. I said Logic.
No, all right, no. It's Dive by Black Milk. I just love the album. I can't honestly say it's better than all the other releases that came out this year, but it's probably my favorite release. It's just real smooth, melodic tones, very serene with poetic raps. I love that shit. That's my cup of tea. So, what about you, Daniel?
I'm gonna give you a real like top three. Okay. So, I think the Benny the Butcher album is the best album to be dropped this year.
Yeah.
My other two, nobody named them. So I like Boogie, Everything for Self.
Word.
And then shout out the young Haitian King, Vince Staples. I may be biased because you know he Haitian, but maybe the music just that potent. But FM, my number three.
No, I'm gonna say what Core wasn't that crazy about FM, yeah, but I absolutely adore FM. It was a fresh, cool concept. He gave me just enough that I feel like, I wish it was more. It was way better than Big Fish Theory.
Wow, then.
100.
Nah, it was better than Big Fish Theory to me.
You like Big Fish?
Because I said, yeah, he does.
Love it.
I like Big Fish.
Hey, give me the robot beats. I'm trying to hear.
I like Twitter told me songs. He let Kendrick wash him on Pots and Pan beat. And
hey, man, hey. Kendrick,
Kendrick love rapping on weird shit, so that he can't play that time. Yeah, nigga, normal beat. That nigga ain't Kendrick. He chilling, but
it's facts.
Nigga, throw some garbage cans on the sidewalk and tell Kendrick rap over it. That nigga can't hold no prisoners. But I fucked with it, Daniel. I love FM. I thought it was a very charming album. It gave me a good amount of what we love about Vince Staples with the gritty dark bars, but it was also bouncy, kind of like the West Coast vibe with it. So it wasn't so much. I feel like he said on Big Fish he wanted like to make that in-house, like the party style music that they used to make on the West Coast. So he wanted like make party house type rap. So it had that bounce like that, but at the same time it had the dark side of what makes people love Vince Staples so much. So I fucks with it. As for Everybody's for Sale, I honestly still don't get the appeal. A lot of people have mentioned the album to me being like their favorite, and I still don't get it.
Someone just told that to me recently. I think
Go ahead.
Now I was gonna say at first I don't think it moved me, but then I remember I told you I thought the date to like send submissions was like approaching, so I started re-listening to a whole bunch of stuff. And I don't know. I think it's perfect. And like I was telling you about how I feel about the Benny album. I think Kanye was onto something with like the whole like 7-track thing, not too much time, because it's just the perfect amount of music. It gives you, for you to want more, but not enough that you get tired of it.
Yeah.
And I think Benny is rapping extremely well. I said Benny. I think Boogie is rapping extremely well on it. So
it's just, I think it's his singing, because his singing is like around one. It's like a very narrow range, and so each song, I don't feel like I'm getting anything different from what he's saying. Like, I enjoy Boogie's rapping. I think he's a really good rapper. It's just, I feel like he oversang on that album for a guy who can't really sing all that well.
I mean, y'all just a lot of niggas who can't sing. Meek, Croon, Cole sing, who? Kendrick
Man,
sing. All these niggas singing in their raps now.
I do not
George
like
every single one of them
singing. I hate when they sing. It's on a certain rappers who I enjoy when they sing a lot. Smino is like the one I probably like the most. Yeah, Future too. But even Smino sometimes.
Shout out Hendrix.
Yeah, shout out to Future Hendrix. Who do we didn't mention as for album of year, even though it's definitely in my top 10. Both his albums this year are currently in my top 10. Shout out to Future.
Let me see.
Yeah, shout out Hendrix.
Niggas won't save me. Please let me buy you a brand new purse.
I don't recall. All
right.
I got Freddie Gibbs number one. I got Freddie Gibbs number two. I really like JPEG Mafia new album. Like, this is my first time really listening to him. And I really like the first time I heard it, I was like, hold up, what is this? But the more I listen, it kind of reminds me of Def Grip, but it's not as industrial, but I still like it. So I got him 4, and I put Future 5.
I started listening to JPEG Mafia's album the other day when I was getting ready for school, and that nigga was making a lot of weird noises, so I turned it off. I said, listen to this.
He was. Okay, that was so funny, because like, I was listening to it at work, and I was like, what is this? And I was like, you know what? I'm going to listen to it again.
Yeah,
and I just kept listening to it over and over and over again. It finally made sense to me.
That's something I got to do on my own time while I'm chilling. But, yeah.
Hope. Before we leave that topic, can y'all explain to me what y'all hear in Bandana that like makes it like the best album of the year to you?
Yeah.
Man, I think it's just incredibly balanced. Like, I almost say it's like most albums, it just feels like people going into a studio and just making songs. To me, it felt as if he was being challenged by Madlib, like, show me that you can be in the same category as a Pusha T, as a Black Thought, as rappers like that. And so I feel like it's almost like a coming out moment for Freddie Gibbs to show everybody, like, I'm just not some regular street rapper that y'all listen to. I can rap, I can make songs, I can be melodic. Like, I feel like every single song was a challenge that he stepped up to. And he proved everybody wrong. Like, he showed, like, to me, like, I mean, because even though I like Freddie Gibbs, I love the collab album he had with Currency last year. And even when they dropped their project, I said, man, I remember we did the review. I was like, bro, this album is perfect to me. Like, I mean, it's not 100% perfect, but there's no flaws with it. I can't see him doing anything better than this.
Yeah.
Especially by himself. And then when I heard the album, I said, damn, he did it. So, like, for me, I love it when I'm critical of a rapper and they come out with a project that make me say, nah, you was wrong. So for me, that's my album of the year off the top. The songs like Fake Names and Practice and Situations, like all them songs, they just go like tracks like Education. Like, it's a song for every single mood, and he touching all topics, all bases, and it don't feel like, it doesn't feel weak, it doesn't feel fake. It's not like a dry moment in the album, like from beginning to end. He just going at it.
And I think that's a really cool aspect, like even in storytelling, like he was talking about, today. He was like, the same day Obama got in office, I got arrested. Yeah. So it was like he was showing the social commentary that even though things around him were changing, like, that he was still like in the same situation. Like, you know, Obama getting elected didn't change anything for him. Or when he was talking about how he tied in the slavery and black Jesus being black on Flat Tummy Tea. Wait, did they make the album? I'm not tripping. They did make the album. I just feel like it didn't. But yeah, like,
Gordon, he said he was reclaiming his time because his role is flooded like Maxine Waters. Come on now.
But yeah, it's also, not the same way for me, Daniel. Like, when I listen to the album, I can't tell you what I feel like Freddie Gibbs could have done better. And that's what, even the production, like, man, I feel like Madlib gave us a great set of beats. So when I listen to the album, I feel like he covered every base that you could want from an MC by being able to do hooks, by being able to tell stories, by being able to do metaphors, bars. Like, that's not a box I felt like he left unchecked.
And don't and forget the features. Do not forget the features on that.
The features are incredible, too.
And also, Gibbs has the perfect tone to be rapping over soul samples.
Yes.
Facts.
It always makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And that's why I'm so in love with Bandana.
I always appreciate him.
This comes from somebody. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, I was going to reiterate the same shit I've already told you privately. Yeah. So, like, I hear everything that you're saying right now. And I do agree that I believe he was rapping at a high level. I think the music did sound enjoyable, but to me, it just wasn't memorable and it wasn't something that I wanted to hear again. So before, like, by the time I got to the middle of Bandana, I knew I wasn't.
And like I said, it's like some projects are just like that, you know, because I hate to say, well, music is subjective, music is subjective, but we talk about it critically every single day. But sometimes certain artists just don't resonate with certain people. And I know there's a couple artists who I think are really talented. And when I listen to them, I can say, yeah, this nigga can rap. But I just do not care for their music. I can't. Like, Wale. I can't play. Hey, Wale released an album October 11th. Y'all didn't know that.
Shout out for Lauren.
I'm ready for that.
Nah, we knew that.
Oh, okay. Making sure. Core don't care, though. That's all right, though.
You don't fuck with Wale?
Man, I'm saying it's like my whole life, like, come on, man, please listen to Wale. And every time I go and listen to the album, I just be like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm gonna make sure it's good before I listen to it again. But yeah,
you told me and you was like, Cord, nah, I changed my mind, don't listen to Sean. I said, man, I gotta listen to it.
Nah, but Shine is his only bad album. Or, like, I feel like Shine is the only, like, album where, like, about... I feel like Wally got one of the best discographies out of his, like, class.
I'm gonna say what, like, going back and listening to The Gifted, it's actually, like, 10 times better than I remember it being. I think it was... I don't know what kind of expectations I had going in originally.
But the album is coming off the album about nothing, so...
Yeah, I think that's what it was. I mean, the mixtape about nothing. That's what it was.
No, it was the album about nothing.
I think Wale got the album about
nothing. No, that came after The Gifted.
Nah, The Gifted was
first. Oh, I thought you were talking about Shine. My bad.
No, not Shine. No. Okay. No, that's only The Gifted I originally did not like. And I guess I don't know what kind of expectation I had after Attention Deficit. No. After Falarin. Not after Falarin. I'm tripping. What was the album with him? Ambition.
That's it. I don't know.
Ambition. I don't know what kind of expectation I had leaving Ambition, but I just did not like The Gifted for some odd reason. But like, we're going back now.
You want me to tell you why you didn't like it?
What's up?
You didn't like it because publicly, Wale started to sound like a cornball.
Yeah, you know what?
And then Meek had that little spat.
You know what?
Then I think our perceptions of Wale changed.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And now I can go back and listen to it with a clear conscience and a clear mind. And I'm like, oh, this music is actually really good. Now I gotta go back and listen to it. Huh?
Y'all remember that? Well, no, we did Kyle Complex. I was like, I'm going to top 50.
Yes.
I remember when Meek told that nigga jump off a roof.
I remember he said that nigga. No.
Hey, he's a political activist now.
I remember Meek Mill said that nigga Wally Cornball can he play Legend of Zelda. And I feel bad. I had Legend of Zelda in my system at that moment.
Man, I hang out with chicks that do yoga. I play Zelda. I was like, Wale, stop.
Wale should just
Wale,
be a Twitch
I think,
streamer.
Is the first rapper I saw. He should have been a Twitch streamer. He's the first rapper I think I've seen like Twitter like negatively impact in real time.
Yes.
Yeah.
People said about Fabulous.
Like, Wale always had a big single.
Yeah,
niggas wasn't giving a fuck about Fabulous.
Hey, I'm saying you what? I'm saying this. People say that about Fabulous, but they said people stop taking him seriously because of Twitter. I'm just telling what niggas told me. Okay, shout to Miro.
Niggas was not listening to Fabulous. What? Get the fuck out of here!
Gonna get it off me here this episode.
Hey, let's keep going. Let's keep going. We've been here a minute. Shout out to Fabulous. Whew, okay, so the NBA, I had to switch it up a little bit. Originally, we're going to talk about Big Man, but I'm gonna say that for another day because this became a little bit more relevant. And it's kind of relevant to me and your favorite teams, Daniel. So the NBA passed some new rules, pretty much dealing with tampering, where they said they're going to put some serious fines going in. So they say that punishments for tampering can range from suspending executives, taking away draft picks, voiding contracts. All those provisions are on the table, and we're taking it a lot seriously. The NBA will now do random audits, and they can take phones to check text messages to make sure, you know, if people were actually having contact with a player before the designated date, which is June 30th. And there's one other thing. Oh, yeah. And this was voted for unanimously by the Board of Governors. Like, everybody agreed that this was something that needed to be passed. So do you see tampering finally going away, or do you think this is going to fuck up and lose some picks? Or do you feel like nobody...
My team don't give a fuck.
Yeah, they do not.
We don't got no picks. Y'all are executive trash. We don't give a fuck. Like, what? None of that shit moved me. Get the fuck
if
out
y'all
of
didn't
here,
know Daniel's a Lakers fan.
Get the fuck out.
Niggas
of
ain't
here.
Got shit to lose. Niggas said send the executive home. I'm like, what you gonna do, man? Niggas don't care about you.
So that don't mean shit to me. I feel like, I mean, if everyone agreed unanimously in the NBA, then I guess they feel like it's okay. To me, it sounds like just an invasion. I feel like an overstep.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
the NBA said it's cool. Who the fuck am I?
Yeah, and the thing is, like, the Board of Governors got people like Doc Rivers on it. So if he's cool with it, I can't imagine that.
He already got his.
Yeah, you know what? He got his. You're right.
Hey, he's helping Jerry Happy Jim. That's crabs in a barrel. that man, Doc Rivers was a crab in the barrel, climbed out of the barrel, ain't helping the other crabs up. He's trying to kick everybody back down so they
black excellence.
You love to see it.
That man ran out the horror movie house and door shut behind him so nobody else could escape. What you mean?
You love to see it.
Shout out Austin, though.
Yeah, shout out to Austin Rivers.
Austin.
Clip a legend.
Oh,
but yeah, I
don't know if that's hard to be.
I can't say for certain how serious NBA is going to take this, but I have to assume teams are going to be more timid come next summer when free agency start, because people go, they're probably going to poke and pry to see how far they can get away with. But like one GM said that, yeah, I'm going to adhere by these rules. But as soon as I see niggas tripping, I'm ad-libbing, just paraphrasing. He said, as soon as I see niggas tripping, I'm going to start doing the same shit too. And that's pretty much what happened to tampering this year. They're like, people saw that nothing ever really bad happened when you tamper, so they just did it.
Question, was this the phone thing? Is that like random searches or like pending investigations?
That's pending investigations. So in the past, I don't think they could just take your phone. If there even was an investigation, I don't think they could request to have your phone. But they will be doing random audits. I don't know, seizure of phones and checking emails. I don't know how in depth those audits go.
Yeah, bro, they sound like the NSA right now.
But it's random. They say random, but it sounds like to me more like they gonna send niggas when they feel like something going on.
It's gonna be targeted.
Exactly. Whoo! Glad we got our dirt out the way. All right, so notable releases that came out this week. DaBaby released the intro to his newest album. It's going to be coming soon enough. And it seemed to be a little different from what we normally hear from him. The production definitely wasn't the same, snare and drum that we've been hearing on every single song, it seems like. It was, and the fact he was a lot more introspective than I've ever known him to be. In fact, I don't think I've ever known him to be introspective on a song. How did y'all feel about the intro?
I was waiting. I didn't want to overspeak on someone. So I was waiting to see if someone was going to jump. I enjoyed it. I feel like I just have the same thing you just said. I think it's the most introspective I've ever heard him. Granted, I've only ever heard Baby on Baby.
Yep.
And the features. So I don't know what his music prior to that same. Is. I guess my only grievance would be I don't think the production fit what he was saying. So I enjoyed the content, but I feel like the production clashed with it. So I could appreciate it for what it was, but it wasn't enjoyable because the two didn't match to me.
I got you. Cole, what about you? You seem like you had a strong opinion about it when you first heard the song.
Wait, what?
Didn't you
see? Yeah.
I'm about to say, yes.
Okay. Actually, I only heard a snippet, and so Keyshawn was going in, so I just joined in on the slander.
I believe it.
Fun thing to say, the famous thing I've ever heard is Welcome to Texas Ranger. Everything else is like 40-second clips on Twitter, and he be rapping like this. And he gonna think of beating the flow, he be going like this. And he usually be rapping like this. Like, that's what every clip I hear, that's exactly what it's like. Well, I don't know if it's the same one song, but everything is exactly like that.
Yeah, no, he actually slows it down and isn't rapping at that same cadence on this track. And it's immediately apparent that he's doing something different on this track. While it still sounds like DaBaby when he raps. So it's not like a super far departure like that. He ain't rapping like Mac Hami or nothing like that. And he's still rapping like himself, but it's a slightly different cadence. Slightly different flow.
But you know what though? I can't slander him for the flow, because I feel like if you want to be successful, you do need to have like a signature sound. So ain't nothing wrong with him having a signature sound.
Yeah, and I am kind of happy for him, because we all been saying he need to get more producers. So this is at least showing that he's venturing into new avenues. DeLon, what you think?
Last time we talked about the baby on here, we were talking. I said that. I feel as though he sounded stagnant because all of his songs were recorded at the same time, blah, blah, blah. I hadn't had a chance to separate. So I heard this song come out. I was like, wow, this is mad different. I wonder why. And he did an interview, and he pointed out the fact that this is literally his first solo song since February. And this man has been in the public eye on Twitter with a new verse every week since then.
That's fair.
He has been on everyone's radar since then. So the fact that his first solo thing is completely different, I think it, kind of speaks to exactly what I was saying.
All right, talk your shit.
Yeah, I got a little bit.
You're the hardest and a girl.
This man, he's talking about his family here. I'd probably have to listen to it again. I don't think he made any references to his penis, which might be the first time.
Yeah, maybe.
Since February. Yeah, I just like the direction this album should possibly be going.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what other kind of production he uses on this album. Or like, you know, like some rappers, you know, the intro beat one thing, and then the rest of the album be, you know, we'll be, you know,
they bullshit.
Always get
logic.
Yeah, they be
your boy Drake.
Yeah. Watch him out.
I ain't gonna stunt Drake's like,
yeah, the hell out of me. With that Drake slander.
Drake fooled the hell out of me on Scorpion, boy. I was like, oh shit, this is about to be something serious. It was not.
All everything. More like
it was free smoke.
This is about to be something serious. It was.
Oh yeah, free smoke. Same way. It was the exact same way. I was like, oh,
that nigga always pump faking. Fuck man, that Canadian nigga.
There we go. I fuck
boy. Let me stop. We already talked about Nicki so many times. Let me stop.
Yeah. It's one too many times.
Stop. At least Nicki write her raps.
Oh.
Let them know.
That's
what I said, nigga.
All people for you to defend and throw that out with. It's not Nicki Minaj.
You was getting.
It's not Nicki Minaj.
All I'm saying,
you know,
and I don't give a fuck. Nicki ain't never ran from no beef. I don't give a fuck if she got her ass spanked. Punch that nigga in the chest, make that nigga go back inside. Fuck that mixed breed ass.
Whoa,
nigga. Oh, I apologize if y'all got a mixed list.
Dante, hold on. I ain't gonna hold it, Dan. I gotta edit it out.
Hey, we had 6-9 episodes. We had a good run.
I got some SpongeBob editing. 5 minutes later.
I said about everything I said.
I ain't gonna lie though. I'm gonna cut that out. Corey, you did some shit like that one time.
Hey, just put the dolphin sound over it.
Okay.
I don't apologize. All right, that was.
All right, Jordan, back to the topics, niggas.
I'm glad we having fun. Okay, there was another notable release that came out this week. We got a Gangstar single featuring J. Cole.
Whole world.
And J. Cole did what he's been doing on features. He absolutely killed it. Came in, made the beat his own over a Primo beat. Primo beat. Love to see it.
But shout out North Carolina.
The bad news is Gangstar he said this is his last. No. I actually like it. The bad news is Cole said this is his last feature. It's just like that. Now granted, he didn't say this last feature of the year, last feature ever. Last feature with Gangstar, which would actually be true, but he said this is his last feature. So, with that being said, if this was his last feature, we have to recognize that Cole has had an astounding feature run from now to going ranging all the way back to last year when he was appearing on songs like Zendaya with Kaz, which I think that was like back in February of last year.
You love to see it. Shout out Kaz too.
Yeah,
we can talk about him more.
And I don't know about that, but. Shout out to that song, yo.
In all defense, we turned off Dreams and niggas for a minute and he disappointed.
Oh boy. But what was I about to say? Oh yeah, so talking about feature runs. So what's the last great feature run that you guys remember? What's one of your favorite feature runs that you remember?
I'm gonna start this off so I won't sound like a hater. I'm gonna go ahead and say it off the hey man, Nicki that had a nice feature run, if I am.
Oh, word. Oh, God dang it. I didn't tell this nigga nothing. Oh, God, I didn't.
It's like every song she had been on for like maybe like the past year and a half. You're going crazy.
Oh, so you talking about her current string of features?
Yeah. Oh, you talking about the past?
No. I didn't know what you were talking about. I didn't know if you were talking about past. No, it could be recent.
It's still a fact. He still ain't telling no lie.
No, it's just real funny because I was talking to Daniel privately. He was saying, like, you know what? Should I bring up Nicki old feature run? I said, man, ain't nobody gonna slander it except for Cole, so you can't do it. So it's hilarious that you brought this shit up.
I was the one who defended.
But yeah, Niggas had some really good features lately. And I feel like, you know, people don't like give her credit. So I appreciate you for doing that, Corey, because her features on that Chance album, I didn't expect her to be on there twice, but they were good.
I'm saying it because I think even
had the best verse on the album.
Verses on. Like, she went crazy on both of them verses.
Yeah. Remind me, Dan, what's the other song, most recent feature she did? It was pretty good, too. I'm trying to remember who. I'm trying to think.
Nicki Rap a lot. The Pop Smoke song?
It might be.
Which was way better than that Rico Nasty bullshit.
That's another conversation. One of my favorite feature runs of this decade was, you know, you might find it underwhelming, but I remember when 2 Chainz going on his feature run after Mercy, and he was appearing on everybody's track. That's when he, like, really, you know, the whole 2 Chainz, T-Da Boy rebrand, and that's when people was like, oh, damn, man, this nigga 2 Chainz be snapping all the time. That's when he made himself into a star for this decade. Yeah. That's been...
Shout out to Mercy Verse.
Shout out to the Mercy Verse.
Shout out to the Mercy Verse.
That's when, that's my favorite feature run for this decade. Delon, you got one?
I'm not going to say this is my answer, but I think it's nice, or I think it's a notable run right now that DaBaby's on. I'm probably going to give mine to Rookie Year Drake. Rookie Year Drake, okay. When he was Young Money's hook man. That was something.
Really, really.
And when people started to say, like, you know, that's when the whole mythos, the Drake feature, Cure All.
And it was
you working.
I mean, Drake and Timbaland hit 2009. So,
yeah. I ain't saying it wasn't true. That's how the mythos started.
I'm gonna say this: it was true until that Trouble song came out, and it did absolutely nothing.
Hey, what Trouble song? You know what? Never mind. I guess they kind of. I guess point proven.
When that song dropped, I said, "Oh man, Trouble finna blow up!" And I was like, "Hold up, ain't nobody talking about this song." I said, "Damn, Drake ain't got it no more."
Nah, Trouble. It's just because of Trouble. I hate to see it.
Y'all about to say RP Trouble.
I ain't heard Trouble since then, but I ain't gonna hold it. I can't realize I heard Trouble, to be honest with you. Damn. You can't remember either, can you?
Yeah. Man, I feel like he was a feature of somebody's album.
Somebody. I can't tell you who. But shout out to Cole. Hopefully we get more features from you in the future, because this has been amazing. Or if, you know, if you're going to withhold some of that heat for your own album, that'd be nice. You know, that'd be even better.
I think,
you know,
we are.
Cole did this back in 2017. Actually, if I remember right, I think right after his feature on Joy Badass album, he came out and said, yeah, that's my last feature. And he just left it like that. And he, I don't think he reappeared on a feature again until he popped up on Logic's album. Randomly at the end of it.
I don't think he means indefinitely. I think he just means for this moment. Like, whatever, like, album mold he's, like, in. I think he just means for the span of this album he's working on. He's, like, done rapping on other nigga shit.
I'm glad. Because, like I said, I hope he focuses key ins on his music.
Because he has been generous to everybody else for sure. How you make it?
That nigga been killing everybody else shit, so I need to do his own.
Cole just got to rap with urgency. Wait, nigga, and
you know what? I wanted to throw three stacks.
So that 2012 run, the real her, Pink Matter, 16. Sorry, 3 stacks was in his back.
Big facts.
I've
never just heard just a cool Andre 2000 verse. I've always been like wildly impressed every time I've heard him.
Hey, you got the best verse in the Deuces remixes.
Oh shit. I'm be honest with you,
I'm hearing T.I. in my verse right now. I'm in my head right now. I got to go look up who on that song.
Drake, T.I. Like, let's go ahead and say Kevin McCall, because Kevin McCall had a great verse.
You know what?
And Chris Brinson's verse was hot, too.
It was.
Yeah.
Let me see. Deuces
remix. I got to go make a list of that on my own time before I say any, because that was a lot of fire verses on that one song.
Shout out to Deuces,
though.
Yeah, I can only think of two.
We only got... one more topic. Then we out here. Black Hippie it seems like Black Hippie all assembled into the studio. According to, I think, was it Day Free or Red One? I can't remember which one said it. Said they're all in the studio, and I think Punch confirmed it, and they're all making music. And leading people to speculate that a Black Hippie album will be made within the span of a month, kind of like the Dreamville album was made in like 2 weeks. And so, I have to ask y'all this. What's the two-man combo from TDE that you would like to hear the most? Crickets. Crickets.
Well, the thing is, honestly, it'd be Kendrick and J-Rock for me, but we just got that.
Yeah.
I feel like that.
I think that's exactly what I wrote down, too.
It's a little expected. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
I'm saying you just don't give a fuck about them other parents. Like, that's okay to say.
I think I've heard Kendrick with everybody. Like, I've heard him with Abso. I've heard him with J-Rock. I've heard him, you know, more times. I've never heard him with Reason or Lance Skywalker or, you know, them niggas. But I don't really care to hear him with them. I'm fine. I'd be cool without it. I'd like to really hear another Isaiah Rashad.
What was the Rhapsody song Kendrick had with I would say Lance on Power?
Anyway, Lance was on a hook for some song, but I can't remember which song. I can't remember because, you know, he's honestly forgettable. I ain't gonna hold you outside of his own.
Shout out Rhapsody.
But the first album was very, I didn't know what to expect, but I actually enjoyed it. But outside of his features, like a lot of times Lance Skywalker could be on a track. Yeah, a lot of times you're on a track and I don't really know it's him. Like, it just kind of glosses over. But if I had to choose a rap combo out of TD Camp that I'd like to hear, I'd like to hear Isaiah Rashad and SZA together. For the simple fact, I haven't heard music from either one in a long time. And their one song they got together, which is West Savannah, was really great. I'd love to hear that again.
Whew. Is this SZA dropping soon?
I'm going to be real with you, fam. Every TD artist this year has said, I'm dropping soon.
Kendrick ain't say shit.
I mean, Kendrick's the only one. Crazy thing, he might be the first one to drop. But Abso said he turned his album in. SZA said she dropped it soon. I said last year he dropped it soon.
I'm not even gonna hold you. I ain't really like that Abso album. That niggas was like co-album was like a bootleg version of.
Oh damn.
You know what I'm talking about?
It was.
Oh, you talking about These Days?
Do What That Will.
Hey man, Do What That Will.
Oh, no, 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 no.
No, he's talking about
These Days was the album, the Cole album was a bootleg version of, and These Days got off. Now, as for Do What That Will, I enjoyed it, but I enjoy songs more than the album. Like, there's a lot of songs in there I don't care for at all anymore.
Ab don't move me how niggas say he supposed to move me.
I went back and did a deep dive on Absol's music because I wanted to do a thread to show everybody why Absol was one of the best in this decade, and I was severely underwhelmed when I started listening to all his guest features and his features back to back. Like, I was trying to find like the best features to do like a video, you know, thread with.
Absol has the worst features in TDE.
Yes, he does. They are awful.
Wait, hold on.
See this fact.
Absol, let me find this. Absol verse on Acid Rap. Oh my God, what was that song?
Ooh.
Let me. I need to read the lyrics.
That's your boy Chino. Da 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 da. Woo. It's Smoke Again.
Smoke Again. What did he say? Oh my God. Oh man, let me find it. He said, solo ho ho twerk something. Throw it back like you're trying to hurt something. I'm so deaf, I ain't never heard nothing. My name Herb, take Herb, smoke Herb, say word. Now here we go. How about you? No doubt, word. But I'll take a pound of you. No doubt, like Gwen Stefani's group. Let me put my mouth where you potty, boo. The nerve, I'm done reading. I'm just making lines. Them niggas pissed, need potty training. They movement shit, that's a potty train. Wait, we kicked it and I score soccer game.
I'm glad you brought that up because it's something I want to learn.
Different time.
Say it.
I don't. Nah. I feel like it's a lot of niggas that I always hear people say, like, nah, he a top tier lyricist. He the best there ever is, yada, yada. And then I hear shit like that. And just a lot of the claims don't match up. So either I'm not understanding what niggas mean when they call somebody a lyricist or somebody lying. And I think it's that niggas is lying.
I'm going to tell you what niggas is lying. People get swept up by the narrative. That's all it is. And plus, Absol is very conscious. He's very self-reflective, and he speaks on topics, a lot of social things. And people tend to associate rappers who are conscious with being like, you're automatically a superb lyricist when you talk about things that a typical rapper talks about. He can rap, but his delivery is pretty terrible. And he comes up with some pretty bad punchlines and wordplay from time to time. Like, he really forces the issue on a lot of songs and verses. And that's what keeps me from saying he's an elite lyricist. I can't even say that anymore. I really can't. I can't. I just say he's a good rapper.
Let me put my mouth.
I just don't know who's an elite lyricist.
Now, hold on. That was hard. We're not gonna hold them.
I would say what DeLon. He was good up until that point, and then everything went downhill from there.
We kicked it, and I scored soccer game. No, but think with that verse, man, he didn't expect that album to blow up. He didn't expect Chance Rapper to blow up. That was a nobody rapper for Chicago. He just gave a verse.
I ain't gonna hold you. That sounds like a punchline from the Young Money collab album.
That's like a gutter.
It really gutter
line. yeah, it do.
And I got it.
And I got a grocery bag.
What you thought? Wait, which line is worse? Which line is worse?
Grocery bag.
I got it in a bag. Grocery.
Oh no, I'm going with grocery bag. No, I like grocery bag better. I thought you were talking about let me put my mouth where you potty. Because I was saying I'm fucking with that.
No. I like the grocery bag line more, I think. I ain't gonna hold you.
Me too. Shout out YM.
No, it's the fact that he down to make it sound like it was super hot. He was like, "I got a grocery bag." Like he's talking like he really has.
Hey, we talk about this 2019 with good delivery.
Yes, same. Come on, say we talk about
as long as you got conviction. I'm good. Go ahead, talking about 2019.
I'm about to say, Core, are we talking about any other line from that song in 2019? I think not.
The most iconic.
Yes. But
shout out, gotta.
That's.
No wait. Y'all forgot I exchanged V cards for retards. Come on, man.
That's the fraudulent. That man said. I already ranted about this on podcast, didn't I? That man talked about some holla at me in 3 years, Miley Cyrus, when she was 15. When she was 15 years old.
All right, he will pull.
Well, Birdman was kissing 15-year-olds on the mouth, so I don't know why you think Young Money would be above.
I wanted Tiger write that verse.
I'm not gonna let y'all disrespect Tiger.
Tiger was online.
Drake could have wrote it too, but
he was texting Millie Bobby or whatever.
Oh my god,
something like that.
I ain't gonna say nothing else about Drake though, because I don't want to get edited.
Nah, we done. This is the end of the podcast though. So y'all guys got any closing thoughts before we go?
A
lot. As usual. Gotcha.
Shout out.
A lot of these niggas that's not as nice as they say they is.
Yeah, that's true.
Sure. Shout out to Nash T-shirts and more, located on the coast of Mississippi. They be making our shirts. Also, that being said, go ahead and cop our shirts. You know, we got the blues, we got the grays, we got the whites. Go ahead and cop.
I got to remind niggas about
no
that.
Trey Ray red.
No, I noticed that too. I was like, why don't we have red? But
hey man, Faye is watching his wife.
Niggas got to move a little different out here. But yeah, I appreciate you for being on, Daniel. This has been really fun, man.
Appreciate y'all for having the kid.
All right. So thank you all for tuning in to another episode of Pop of the Man Podcast. Tune in next week for another episode of your favorite podcast. See you then.